Welcome back to yet another episode of Real Talk, Real Faith. We're back again with Hannah.
Hey, y'all. I know y'all missed me last time, so I had to come back for the one time.
Okay. So before we get
into the... Oh, my gosh. That's going to be my hand line.
Yeah. Before we get into the meat of the episode, I'm going to ask you some riddles just to cool down. Ugh. I know. They're easy-ish. The first one is, who has married many women... I don't know if you can see it. Who has married many women but was never married?
Is this from the Bible? Like, no, is the Bible?
It's not according to the Bible. It's just
okay.
Who has married many women but was never married?
A man that has a lot of money.
No, it's a priest.
What?
They've married many women.
A priest?
Yes. You go, the ones that... officiate wedding. Oh! Yes. So the next riddle.
Can you make sure you don't cuss that up?
No. Okay. So the next one. Paul's height is 6 feet. He's an assistant.
Well, Paul was six feet, you like don't in know the Bible.
Paul, not Bible Paul.
Oh. Let me finish. I'm like, damn, Paul, you got some height on you.
Okay. He's an assistant at a butcher shop.
Okay.
And he wears size 9 shoes, tiny feet. What does he weigh?
So what is it? He weighs six.
He's no, wait, he's 6 feet. He's an assistant at a butcher shop.
Okay.
And he wears size 9 shoes. What does he weigh?
Wears size 9 shoes, 6 feet.
What does he wear?
Yeah.
You can give up anytime.
Oh, he weighs meat.
Sir. Thank you.
He weighs meat. Bro, I'm slow. This is gonna make me seem so slow. Guys, I promise I'm not slow. Like.
Okay, the next one. What comes once in a minute, twice in a moment, but never in 1,000 years?
Oh.
This one, I'll help you. Think about the words that I'm saying. So what comes once in a minute, twice in a moment, and never in 1,000 years?
Does it have to do with time?
No.
The calendar?
No, it's just the word, literally the word.
What comes once in a minute,
twice in a moment, and never in a thousand.
A years. Second.
No. Yes.
It's M.
There's what? One M in minute, two M's in moment.
Okay, that was no so anyways.
That was easy. Okay. So now into the actual topic for today.
That was so stupid, but whatever. Like, how are you guys going to put it? How are you guys going to put that in it? Put the riddle in the word. Like, that makes no sense, but whatever.
That's why I said to think about the word.
Like, what? What comes in a minute?
Twice. Comes once in a minute. Once. Twice in a moment. And never in 1,000 years.
Where's the M in 1,000 years?
That's why it's never.
Oh, that's... Bro, guys, I'm not slow,
you're
I promise.
Not slow in Jesus' name. So, let me ask the first question for today. What do you think about forming friendships with non-believers?
Oh,
that's it. Remember,
this question is such a god. We ain't got a lot of time.
We ain't got time for that.
So we gotta speed things up. Dang.
You can do like your TLDR. You're too long.
Honestly, I feel like it's not a bad thing to be like to actually be friends with an unbeliever. One thing I always say is like to love from afar, and I feel like. Like, once again, like, in the Bible, like, Jesus hung out with sinners. So, I feel like if you're...
Jesus hanging out with sinners, it wasn't like he was... Like, he had a reason for doing
that. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Okay. The thing is, like, I feel like you being friends with a sinner, I feel like you have to have boundaries, I feel like. If you're going to be friends with someone who's in this world, I feel like you have to have boundaries. And I feel like they need to know what your boundaries are. And they also need to know that you are also a Christian. I don't think it's a bad thing because I feel like, once again, if you are really in your word, and I feel like if you're really, like, you know, in that praying, you know, you're doing your godly works that you're doing, I feel like it's not really a bad thing. Because I also feel like you being a Christian in their life is probably, like, the... for them to like really think about what they're doing as well. And I always say, like, never. One thing I've also learned too is like also don't be too quick to cut people off from your life, because I feel like you just like some people could learn from you. Yeah. If you, another thing that goes with a Christian too is like if you're a Christian, you see that your friends live in the world. I don't think you should just leave their life and just stop being mm-hmm. friends with them, because that could also make them go deeper into their world. Because it's like, how the heck are you? I'm not going to say blame it on the Christian, like, how are you a Christian, but you're going to cut me off. No, not that. But I just, like, I feel like you just cutting them off and pushing them to the side is could also make them, you know, go deeper into their sin. And I feel like a lot of people who are friends with worldly people and people who are in this world, I feel like God put them in their lives for a reason. And I always say that because it's just like, you don't really see a lot of people who are friends with unbelievers. I see it, but it's not a lot. Like, not like, they're not like close.
Yeah, not intimate.
They're not intimate, but it's like, I feel like that's like a start. Cause you can start running them to Bible study, to church and whatnot. So
I don't think you should not be friends with unbelievers, but I think it's more what you said before, like having those boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And like, because you're an unbeliever and you don't believe the same things that I do, there are certain things that I can't go to you. Certain problems I can't go to you with, right? And then certain things we can't do together. Like, if you're going out, I mean, I'm not a partier anyway, but like, if you're going out and you're only going out to drink and
do stuff,
do things, then I don't believe in.
And I feel that unbeliever should also know not to invite you to those things.
Yeah, at some point.
And that, because that's the boundary that you guys have both placed.
Yeah.
You, as that unbeliever, should respect those boundaries and be like, and not be like, oh, let me go invite Hannah to the club.
If knowing, you say no, you should get the sense.
You should get the sense. And also because and you know what I'm trying to say, like, and I'm not, me being like, you should already get the fact that, like, I keep on saying no to these things and you keep on inviting me, then come on now.
Yeah.
Sure, you get the gist of it, but
So, kind of along that line, we're going to shift into, like, Christian friendships now.
Christian and friendship?
No, Christian friendships.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. So, do you think that there's a difference between having Christian friends and having Christ-centered friendships?
Yes.
Yeah. 100%. I want to talk a little bit about what that difference might be.
Like, okay, so, because anybody can say they're a Christian.
Yeah, that's it.
Literally. I could be like, I'm a Christian, but am I really doing godly things?
No.
I can say I believe in God, but when I get home, I'm smoking all the weed I got with me. So it's just like, I feel like the word Christian is like used so loosely that like anybody can just say they're Christian. 100% you're saved. That's very, very cool. But are you really doing the things of
God? So that doing godly things should be the Christ-centered friendship.
And right? Yes. I would say yes, because it's just like, I can say I'm Christian, but I could also be living in the world, like one leg in, one leg out. I can say I'm Christian, but I'm on Saturdays and Fridays, I'm out partying and drinking and doing all those things. And then, you know what I'm trying to say? But a Christ-centered friendship is someone who on Saturdays, they know that they have choir practice they have to get to. Friday or whatever. I knew it was Friday. But Friday, you never know. Some churches might have it on Saturdays. But yes, you know, they know how they have choir. Instead of going out to the club, they have choir practice they have to go to. Or they have Bible study that they have to get to. Yeah. And they know that they have to, you know, do this and do that because, you know, or they have to go clean the church or something like that. You know what I'm trying to say? Because it's just like, it's not just that or like serving in the church, but it's also like the fact that they really make Christ their whole living.
Yeah.
And it's like they're really living for Christ and you could see it. Compared to someone who's just a Christian, it's like, is Christ really living in you? You know what I'm trying to say? So it's just like,
and then to kind of add to that, like one of the things I was thinking about when I wrote this, but you gave an example of it a little bit of like, if you go to certain friends and you're like, oh, I'm struggling with this, and they tell you, Hannah, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like a Christ-centered friendship is using the word of God to be like, girl, don't do that, right?
This is what Paul said.
Advice, right? Like, are the root on whatever advice we're giving each other is Christ-focused, not necessarily emotional, right? Or our own thoughts and opinions. So that's how I distinguish.
Because I feel like a Christian friend would tell you, girl, it's just one club.
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll go to church tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? There's grace. God was just ask for repentance and move on. But a Christ-centered friendship would tell you, no, the Bible said we should not do these things. We should not be drunken, da 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 da, and whatso and whatso and whatso not. Yeah. So
And then kind of moving a little bit further on that, like how do you manage or how do you nurture Christ-centered friendships? Do you have any idea on how you go about that?
I feel like the thing about like depicting like both of them is just like, I feel like you would know, like once a friend starts to like say they want to do this, and this is how we're talking about, oh, like the Christian friend would tell you let's go to the club, we get not like we get saved, but like, and then there's the Christ after friendship would tell you no, don't do this, that's what the Bible says. I feel like you start to know, because I feel like a lot of people, they just want, they also want to have fun. Like they think that being a Christian, but they also want to have that fun. Worldly fun, not just fun, worldly fun. And I feel like once you start having, once they start talking about that worldly fun, that's how you know. That's how you would know that, like, okay,
this is not a
Christian friendship. This is not a Christ-centered friendship. This is just someone who just claims, or someone who's Christian, but they're like lukewarm in a way. So I feel like when they start to do stuff like that, that's how you should know, and you should definitely like start making boundaries if you want to be in a Christ-centered relationship and friendship. So.
And then in terms of like, because that's like managing and like identifying, mm-hmm. like the nurturing aspect is, again, something that you talked about in our last episode of like just talking to your friends about Christ.
Yeah.
Right? Like to open that door to be like, oh, you know, I was reading my Bible and this stood out to me. And like having those kinds of conversations with your friends, then it's like, okay, we know that God is something that we can talk about.
Yeah.
Right? So there's that intimacy of like, okay, so now I know if you have problems, let's go to the Word and see what's in the Word so we can help each other.
Yeah. And I feel like just placing that seed too.
Yeah.
Like once you place that seed, I promise, and you just start praying for that person, bro, I promise. Give it time, patience, obviously. But once you place that seed in their life, you tell them about God once, God just has to do the rest. That's all you have to literally just do. Place the seed, pray for them, you know, keep on spreading your word, keep on posting your Bible devotionals, keep on sending them what you need to send them. I promise you, God will do, just one out of this day, you should be like, your friend will be like, let's go to church. Church? I didn't know that was your vocab, but okay, you know?
I also think it's, like, I feel like people get this, like, misconception that, like, I don't know, that is just gonna come. Like, because Christ is the center, your friendship is just gonna magically appear in front of you. It's still a friendship. Like, you still have to put in the effort that you put into any other kind of relationship.
And it takes time, too. Like, being in a Christ-centered friendship, it's not like just because me and you are both Christian, we go to church, we're just gonna be automatically Christ-centered. No, it's like, I feel like not everybody you're supposed to be friends with. So it's like, you really need to, like, find those people who, I wouldn't say match, but like people who like fit. Obviously, I know we're all Christians, but it's like those people who really fit with you, because you obviously don't want to go and be friends with the wrong people.
Yeah.
And like it really just take time to like really come with a Christ into friendship, because I feel like there's still some people who are dealing with that, like one leg in and one leg out. So
you kind of mentioned this just now, right? I want us to talk a little bit about church friends. So let's say the alien from the episode that just came out came back and wanted to know what having church friends meant. How would you explain that to them?
I feel like I don't know. I feel like church friends to me is like, I feel like church friends are more like family in a way. Because I feel like, once again, like, working in this church, I feel like everybody here is like my family. Like my little brothers, my aunties and my uncles, grandmas and grandpas, whatever. I feel like everyone here is like family. So like, I would say like church friend is like someone that, like, once again, it could also start from like you guys being in the same department. That's where it could start from, or just because you guys are in the same like we have Ignite. So like it could start from that as well. And I feel like it's just about like, you guys can definitely, having a church friend, you can definitely take it outside of church, obviously. It doesn't have to just be in church and whatever. You also don't have to just do Bible study all the time.
Yeah, you can do other things.
You can go on trips together. You guys can go go-karting. You guys can go out to eat. You know, just fun stuff. And I feel like it's this kind of like the same as having an outside friendship. And it's like, I feel like it's even better now, because it's like you have a friend who goes to the exact same church as you, and you guys kind of obviously know what's going on in the church. You know, okay, yeah, there's this happening, and it's like, this is a Christian friend. And I feel like it's a lot easier because you guys are kind of on the same boat in a way. So it's like, okay, she knows that I wouldn't do this, and I know she wouldn't do this. So it's kind of like, I would say it's a bit better than actually having like friends outside of, like, outside.
Yeah, because, it's easier to.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so
And then the next question is, like, do you think that church-based friendships are essential?
Yes, for sure. Okay. Very essential. Like, does it matter, like, if it's from the same church or, like, from different churches?
I don't think it matters.
Like, yeah, I definitely do feel like, well, what do you mean church? Like, church base?
Church friends.
Oh, yeah, I do think church friends is important because you need to have church friends because you need to make church, like, you know, fun and stuff like that. And, like, you catch up with your friends at church. Like, I love how, like, at church, like, after church, everyone's, like, sitting and they're talking and, you know, they're doing other, it's, like, you know, like, some people, that's all they will ever have is church friends. Like, and that's okay. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, some people, that's all they will have. And I'm not even going to lie. Like, I even see it sometimes with some of, like, you know, but whatever. That's all. And that's fine. Like, that's who you guys will hang out with because that's fine. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, and that's okay. Like, it's amazing to have church friends because at the end of the day, you guys are all going to meet up at the same Sunday every single Sunday. So it's just like, it's cool. And I feel like it's nice to have. So
it kind of reflects the idea that the church is also a community.
Exactly.
People, right? Like, so it's important that you have like roots in that community, mm-hmm. right? That you talk to people. And this is coming from me. Mm-hmm. If you know me in person, then you'd be like, she's not practicing.
Queen is like, after church, she's always in that corner. Do, like, I mean, nobody talked to her.
I am doing things.
Okay.
But yeah. But yeah, it's just
Queen, I want to see you like come out and actually talk to people.
But what am I gonna say?
Just talk. You know what? I'm gonna bring the conversation to you. I'll bring the conversation to you. I remember I was seeing this TikTok where it's like after church service is done, they just pack their bags and just start going. Where are you going? Where are you going? Before pastor even says the grace, you're already packing your stuff and ready to
go. My jacket is on. Yeah.
Well, even me though, I'm just like sometimes I feel like when you don't. I mean, that's kind of easy to have because it's like if you don't have any friends, like why are you going to be there at the end of the day? Like just go home after, right? That's why I feel like we have these groups like Ignite, we have these fellowship, we have departments as well to also like make you feel like to put you in a group so you can actually make, you know, connections and friendships, stuff like that. So, yeah. Come to our Ignite Fellowship Saturdays every first Saturday of the month.
If you need a ride, DM us.
Let us know.
Let us know. We'll pick you up if you're Ignite in Ontario.
Ministry.
Yay. Also follow us on Instagram. Thank you. So I kind of want to move into the last segment of today's podcast.
Okay.
It's about accountability. And it's, well, first let's think about like, what do you think the most important parts of a friendship are? Like, even if you have to like recap things that we talked about in the last episode.
I would say like the first most important thing is loyalty, and then you can branch off from like loyalty. So like, what does loyalty look like? Like being honest, accountability, and like, and then I would also go with like vulnerability as well. This is not going in order, but like vulnerability is very, very important. Like obviously love in the friendship. So,
and then I say, was that consistency and like intentionality?
Mm-hmm.
Like putting effort into
the friendship, because I feel like with like accountability, it's very in the same thing with God too. You need to tell God, like, if you sin, like, God, yes, I know I did this yesterday. I know I dabbled in something I shouldn't have went in, but I am very sorry. Like, you're taking accountability of what you did, because I feel like when someone takes accountability of what they did to me, I actually like it makes me want to forgive them. Now, because it's just like, you actually know what you did, so like now I actually have like, I have no other choice but to forgive you now, because, okay, that sounds really bad, but it's just like,
you're being honest, and it's just like, honest, and I wouldn't feel compelled.
You know what I'm trying to say? I wouldn't feel compelled to even forgive you or even look your way after what you just did to me. But like, because you're taking out, because you're being, you're honest and you're telling me what you did was wrong, it's like, you know what? Why don't I, why can't I not forgive you? Why not?
But
you know?
I think accountability also manifests in like different ways, because there's that kind of like, I've wronged you and I'm being accountable to you by coming back to you and telling you that I did something wrong. But I also think it's like, if I did something wrong outside of our relationship, like accountability and that kind of intimacy is you seeing my behavior to something else or someone else and telling me, girl, that was not right. Like you shouldn't have done that.
Like to somebody else, right? Yeah. I like the second one where it's like, you did something wrong behind their back, but then you still come back to them and then you tell them like what they did, because it's not even just about like me seeing you do it to me. Like we're out and then like you hit me or something and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry for doing that. I understand. But it's like maybe you went out and you said something, and then, but then you were like, hey, you come back to me, you're like, I did something wrong, I said something I shouldn't have. Because I feel like a lot of that one goes unnoticed, because it's just like, that's like loyalty behind somebody's back. Because it's like, you know you did something wrong behind their back, but they're still coming. Because some people would have been like, oh, it's okay, whatever, we move on. But then it catches up, because now it could lead to you gossiping about that one friend behind their back.
Accountability is like conducting, or like, I feel like being responsible for your behavior in and outside of your relationship.
The friendship, yeah, for sure. Person, yeah. Because that's like very important, because I feel like that makes a friendship grow.
Kind of on the lines of accountability, do you think it's hard to bring it into friendship? Like both the one of like, I'm sorry that I did this to you, mm-hmm. and what you did out there, like your behavior, your conduct outside.
Yeah.
Like let's say you went to a club and you knew you weren't supposed to be going clubbing, and mm-hmm. I told you that was wrong.
That was wrong.
Right? Both of those kinds of accountability. Do you think that it's hard to bring that into a friendship?
Oh, it definitely is for sure, because I keep saying, oh, it definitely is for sure. But yes, it is, because I feel like some people, they don't like to be told about themselves.
Yeah.
Because even me, I don't like to be told that I'm doing something wrong, because I want to be like, yeah, I'm doing it right. But when I do know I'm right, I know I'm right. But what is it called? Yeah, like, it definitely is hard, because how are you supposed to, like, I feel like us humans, like, once we set our minds on what we're doing is completely fine to us, like, it's going to be extremely hard to, like, tell somebody no. And especially if it's, like, something like the club or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about? You weren't there, so what does that have to do with you?
Yeah.
So you told me not to go, but I went. Okay, we move on from life. I'm not, you know what I'm trying to say? So it's just, like, with that, it's extremely hard to, like, because they're basically like telling them like what they can't do, and like some people, the thing is, some people would take it like that, because it's like, oh, now you tell me what I cannot do, and it's just like, no, I'm not telling you, I'm just telling you what you did is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But then some people might take it as like you're attacking them, and it's just like, no, I'm not attacking you, because it's just like, what you know, we're Christians, you know, we're we're not supposed to be going to the club, but you went ahead and did it. Go ask for forgiveness from God. Da, 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 da. But people are like, no, da, 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 this and.
I think it's hard. What you said before about having a Christ-centered friendship. It's like,
yeah.
If we have a Christ-centered friendship, you already know if you did something wrong to me,
mm-hmm.
right, God saw you do it, and God is in this friendship, so two people out of the three of us know that you did something wrong, so just come and admit it, right?
But I feel the thing is, oh, shoot, sorry.
No, the other thing is, like, if you did something that was wrong, right, like it was just a sin,
mm-hmm.
because we have a Christ-centered
friendship,
there's that understanding of like we're holding each other accountable. To God's standard.
Yes.
So it's not me telling you what you can or cannot do by my own standard,
mm-hmm.
it's just referring you back to what God has already said.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I feel like the thing with God-centered relationships, because I feel like a lot of people might feel that they are pressured. So they might start to hide things from you.
Yeah.
Now, that's what I don't want. That's what, just because we feel like you're in a God-centered relationship, you feel like you have to start hiding things from me. And that's something that, like, I feel like that could also come up and can be an issue in a friendship. Because then it's like, you feel like, oh, shoot, if I go to this club, nobody can post me. Do not post my face. I wouldn't even post it before and after I was at the club. You can't even, if you're, every camera that's coming to your face, you're dodging it. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but and that goes back to your own personal relationship with Christ.
Right.
Because, like, even if I don't see it, like, as your God is with you in that club.
God
can
is seeing
see you dodging all the cameras, right? So it doesn't matter if anybody snaps you or not.
That's actually so crazy. Imagine you're ducking the camera just because you don't want your...
God is just looking at you. He's also inside of you. The Holy Spirit is...
Yo, that's actually so hilarious.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine that. Because me at that point, I would just be like, why didn't you just stay home?
Yeah.
Because imagine you ducking the cameras. Oh.
But I also think it's a matter of, like, the way that you approach Christ-centered friendships. Because it shouldn't be, like, I'm policing your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm not your pastor.
Yeah.
Right? So.
It's more of just, like, I'm your friend.
It's not everything that you do that I need to comment on.
Yeah.
Right?
You should already know.
Every time that you go to the club, that'd be like, you know, you shouldn't go to the club.
Yeah.
Because the next time you go, you're just not going to tell me.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So, there's other things that you could do, like praying. Mm-hmm. And don't tell your friend that you're praying for them about the specific issue, because you don't need to do that.
That's where the issue starts.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're praying for me so I don't go to the club?
How dare you?
Like, exactly.
Yeah. So I think the next question I want to ask is, one of the things we didn't talk about, but it's support. Like, I think support is actually, we did talk about it, because we mentioned dependability.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I just kind of want to talk about, like, how maybe we can create a culture of support and encouragement in our own friendships.
I would say one thing I really appreciate for when my friend is there for me is, like, I would say, like, even though you're going through your own mess, and, like, even though I'm going through my own mess, we're still going to be there for each other. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that just, like, makes me, and, like, the fact that, like, even the fact that you just calling and checking up on me every day, it just shows me that I can actually depend on you and you're reliable. The fact that you, like, you can notice when I'm even off, like, things like that, like, really warms my heart, because it's just, like, especially the one where it's, like, your friend can notice, like, something's wrong with you. And I feel like that one right there just, like, makes me, like, depend on you as a friend. Because it's, like, you can tell when my attitude is off. You can tell when I'm angry. You can tell when I'm sad. So, to me, that right there just, like, really, like, that can, like, create a form of dependability. Because it's just, like, you know, you can tell these things even though when I'm not even speaking a word. When I'm even doing anything, you can just tell. And that's, like, really, like, that, like, really, I feel like that's one thing. And what else I would say?
I think for you? Me, I'd say, like, showing up. Like, it doesn't have to be, right, showing up with a solution to my problem.
Yeah, but just being there.
Kind of the way that God is just always there, mm-hmm. right? Even if he's not acting out in a way that you can physically see him acting out. But, like, just if I'm going through something and my friend is just there, like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm here for you if you need anything, right? If you need, like, somebody to talk to, I can talk. You can talk to me, right? That kind of thing. It's the best kind of support that I can get.
Yeah. Like, even if, like, we're just, like, you just hear me yapping, like, not even say anything back. Like, or, like, me just, like, crying, like, you don't even say anything back. Like, to me, that just shows, like, that's, like, really, like, you know, that's, like, really wholesome to me. Because it's just, like, you're just hearing me yapping, yada, yada, yada. You're, like, you know what? Or, like, you're hearing me ranting, but you're not, like, it's not like you're not seeing anything, but it's just, like, you're just hearing me out. And like, that's what, like, a lot of people mostly need all the time, which is someone to hear them out. Because maybe, like, the wrong person did. So
And I think our last question for today is, how can we prioritize our church friends? So going back to the church friend topic, how can we prioritize our church friendships without neglecting our other important relationships? So, like, non-church friends, maybe, like, your school friends, or
what if, like, your church friend is your main friend?
Okay, well, dang, we can just leave it like that.
I'm joking. Yeah, what if your church friend is your main friend? Because that could also happen. Like, you know, that's a very possible thing for that to happen. But I feel like if you're going back to that question, then I would say, like, because I mean, you already see your church friends every Sunday anyways. So I would say, like a balance in a way, because you also don't want to, like, feel like you're doing too much for your outside friends, but then you're doing less for your church friends. So I would say, like, definitely having the balance. Like, if your friend, like, asks, like, let's say your church friend asks you to go out, and then your outside friends ask you to go out, don't be like, oh, I'm gonna go out with my outside friend, but then, mind you, your church friend already asked you to go out first. You should definitely tell your outside friend, like, hey, listen, I'm actually already going out this day because my friend from church already asked me, you know. Know how to balance it, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, also, if you can also, like, invite your church friends to your outside
friend. That's what I was going to say. Just try and blend it.
Like, blend it. But I think sometimes people don't like blended relationships. Like, blending groups.
Oh, okay.
That's even me, too. I don't like blending. It's not that I don't like it. It's just, like, I feel like something could always go wrong. Because I just feel like, imagine you're blending, like, your school friends from your church friends.
I don't have enough friends. Okay, well, I'm trying to see your problem.
Someone like me, like, I, like, when I was doing my birthday dinner, and I feel like it will happen to me again this year, it's like I have to blend my school friends with, like, my outside of school friends, and then, like, church friends, and then, like, maybe, like, even work friends. That's, like, four different friend groups. Like, what am I supposed to do here? It's just, like, and I can't, and, like, and I can't have four dinners. Like, hello, I have to just bring all of you guys and measure you guys all in. So it's gonna have to work. Like, we're gonna have to all do something together,
but I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to the effort that you put into it, right? Like, nothing happens on its own. So,
sorry. Yeah.
So I think that's all that we have for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll
bye,
see you
y'all
in 2 weeks. Bye.
Deuces.